Welcome back to Christian Leaders Institute. The class is Reading and Writing for College Students. And we are on the final step for the process of critical thinking, this Unit 4. We've already talked about how we interact with the author's thoughts, how we're faithful to that interaction, but now we want those interactions to bear fruit. We want to have fruitful interactions with the author's thoughts. I grew up on a farm. We weren't on a fruit farm, but we raised vegetables and grain crops. We also had fruit trees. And it's always an exciting time of year to see the fruit trees blossom. It's beautiful to see them blossom. And then those blossoms fall off and you just get into the humdrum of summer, and pretty soon towards fall, you start to see the big fruit, the apple, the peach, the pears, in this case, in this tree, the oranges, start to form on the tree, and they're green, but you can tell the fruit is coming. And finally comes a day when you pick the fruit, say an apple, and then you're able to turn it into cider or apple pie, or apple crisp, or some type of apple-based fritter, or maybe just eat the fruit as an apple, or make a jello with apples in it. All kinds of things that you can do with that fruit that are, once the fruit is fully ripe and available to you, that you can be fruitful with the fruit that's there. The same thing is true when we're reading faithfully what the author has identified. When we faithfully identify the author's thoughts, and then we understand, we measure, and evaluate those thoughts, we can come to a point where we gain fruit from the teaching of the author of that reading. But to do this, we have to tend the orchard of our minds. We have to evaluate and compare and contrast and approve or disapprove, accept or reject the author's thoughts. Sometime in the care of an orchard, there are many, many different things that have to be taken care of. You have to try to keep the grass not too high on the trees. That's a problem. You have to make sure there's sufficient nutrients in the soil for the tree to take up and bring up to make the fruit. You have to cut off unfruitful branches because they will rob nutrients and energy from the fruit that is trying to be, the good fruit that's trying to be made. You actually get smaller fruit if you had bad branches on a tree. So you trim or you prune those branches from a tree. And then you have to protect it from too much insect damage as well and other types of things. And there's measures that you can take to do that. So if we think about the pest damage, whether it's weeds or insects, that's the same things as those distractions that can prevent the best fruit to come on the tree of our minds when we're reading something. There's also those branches that get into our thinking that are incorrect, that need to be pruned out so that we are able to correctly and fruitfully understand and apply to our own lives what's being read. And then finally, there is the day when you just the overall protection of our mind. The Bible talks about guarding our hearts and our minds. That's very important when we're reading, especially. There are going to be things that we have to read that are not what we want to hear. I was took some studies at one point that was studying feminism. And I learned things I never wanted to know. I read things I never wanted to read. But you know what? They broadened my understanding about things. I still do reject many of those issues, but I understand better what the idea of feminism is, and so I can accept as biblical others of those issues. The ones that are fruitful, and when they're compared with the true standard of the Word of God, I can accept. The ones that are not, I have to throw away and prune from my mind. Not necessarily get rid of them completely, but they are something that I do not consider as a part of me, but as a part of some other worldview. And we can look at this. For example, let's look at this verse here. John 3:16. We know this verse as one of the most famous verses in the world. So let's read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now, on the surface, this is a very simple verse. The words are very simple. I think we can all understand it. Even a child can understand this. But let's start thinking about this verse more deeply. Let's let it soak into our minds. Let's let it compare to our experience. If we substitute the world for our own selves, for humanity, what is there about humanity that God would even love us at all? What is it that God loves? Well, certainly if I was in God's place, I wouldn't love us very much. You know, these things that I created, and now they're going to turn against me and do what they want and be self-centered and say even that I don't exist. But yet this says that God still loved humanity. Why? And how much did he love us? Well, okay, he loved us so much, just despiteful, hateful creatures, he loved us so much that he gave his only Son, his only, in the words of the King James Version, his only begotten Son, the only Son that was actually born naturally of him. Wait a minute. Would I give my Son for a person that treated me like dirt? I don't understand that. Do you understand that? Can you understand the love of God so great that even despite our horrible sins, he still gave us Jesus, his Son? And what goes into what giving us his Son? What does that mean? Oh, wow. Then we got to get into the whole gospel story, right? How God sent Jesus into the world to take on our sins and then take them to the cross. Do you realize that on that cross, it wasn't the physical suffering that was the worst? It wasn't the emotional suffering of being rejected by his friends and his nation and his people? It was the fact that he took every single sin, every single thing that you and I and every other person in the world since Adam and Eve, everything we've ever done wrong, everything every person in the world for all of time has done wrong, Christ took that on himself on the cross, and it broke his heart to the point where it literally ripped in two. It separated him for the first time from the Heavenly Father and the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit. Does that sink in how what it means to give his one and only Son? Wow. I don't think we haven't even plumbed the depths of this yet. We haven't even begun to understand the love of God. We haven't even begun to understand how he gave his one and only Son. And then to say that whoever simply believes in him shall not perish but live for eternity. Wow. The simplicity of belief, Why would God just make something that easy for us who've been so rotten to him? And not just, I mean, but on top of it, give us eternal life with him for eternity? My friends, this is beyond our comprehension. We can think on this and it will become more fruitful to our understanding as we meditate and chew on this verse and what it means and the depths of the knowledge and the understanding as it sets into the world. Think about all the awful things that Hitler has done in the past. Think about all the awful things, all the awful thoughts, all the awful actions that I have done, that you have done. That God loved us so much, he gave his one and only son. Do we understand how great a God we serve? How much and how little of a thing it is that we should love him? How great a thing it is that we should love him? And how horrible of a thing it is when we don't? When we don't live for him? When we don't divide? When we don't read his word with thorough understanding? With thorough trying to understand, with setting aside our own presuppositions and prejudices and preconceptions so that God can speak to us directly in his word and teach us? Do we understand that when we read this verse? Do we understand how much we need to have the word of God, to read it correctly and then incorporate it into our lives so that we live it correctly as well? My friends, we will never begin to understand all that God has in his word for us. He's infinite. We are finite. Isaiah tells us that God says, "For my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways higher than your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, and so are my thoughts and your thoughts." My friends, we won't understand God ever completely, not even in eternity, but we can begin to understand and be fruitful in our understanding today that will only grow throughout eternity. My friends, I hope that you do this. I hope that you do this and that you learn to faithfully and fruitfully interact with the author's thoughts, God's thoughts that he has given to us in his word. I hope that you see the logic of God's thoughts, that you follow that logic through, and that you do your best, as I try to do my best, to understand to the best of our finite abilities what God has put in his word. When we do that, God says, "I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me." Let's keep our minds on the word. Let's keep our minds on Jesus Christ. Let's keep our minds on things above and not of the earth. Whatever we're reading, our minds can always be on the things above. But especially if we're reading the word of God, where we have the very words of God himself to us. Oh, let our minds always, always, always be on him. Thank you, and God bless. We'll see you in the next session.